A visit from Arizona's governor and the likely future president of Arizona Western College. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Governor Katie Hobbs announced last month she is running for re-election. She was in Yuma this week as part of a statewide tour.
That I'm focused on Arizonans and not the politics happening in Washington, D.C., which really I think this shutdown is so much about politics and not people.
And Ritika Dewan, the preferred candidate of the Arizona Western College Governing Board to be the next president, met with AWC community leaders.
Empowering faculty, empowering staff, and students, all the three are important. There's not a one thing over another.
Those stories, plus a look ahead at a community event next week in Yuma with the Arizona Public Interest Research Group, coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. If you live in Arizona, you know energy costs keep going up, and we all need to use our air conditioner during most of the year. KAWC civic engagement reporter Alexandra Rangel previews a community event next week with the Arizona Public Interest Research Group.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel. In Arizona, keeping the lights on and the air conditioning running isn't optional, and it's getting more expensive to do so. Arizona Public Service Company, the largest energy company in the state, supplies power to Yuma County residents. Over the years, APS customers have seen several rate increases. The latest APS proposal includes a 14% hike, which would raise the average household's bill by about $20 a month. To better understand what this means for consumers, I spoke with the Arizona Public Interest Research Group, or Arizona PIRG. The statewide organization conducts research and focuses on consumer advocacy to make sure ratepayers are aware of how the changes could impact their wallet.
Unfortunately for APS ratepayers, they have seen a couple of increases over the last several years that have really impacted household budgets.
Diane Brown is the executive director with AZPIRG. She and her team have had boots on the ground working to educate customers about the possible rate changes.
Talking to consumers in Yuma and across the state about concerns they have with their utility bills and recognizing the constraints that are on household budgets, what they can do to better alleviate some costs.
She says these rate increases are becoming more common, making it hard for customers to keep up with the rising cost.
Major utilities in Arizona, including APS, have seemingly been coming in for rate increases more frequently than they have in the past.
The last rate increase for APS was about 2 years ago, when the utility company sought an 8% hike to fund upgrades to its electrical grid and infrastructure. The Arizona Corporation Commission approved that request. That decision led to a $10 average increase per month for customers.
Most of the last couple of increases for APS have averaged about $10 for residential customers. This one is a much larger proposed increase.
The 14% increase APS is requesting now will again be left up to the ACC. As Arizona PIRG works to protect consumers, Brown acknowledges there are legitimate reasons for rate increases, but says the process must remain fair and transparent.
There are legitimate expenses in each rate case. There are some that, you know, we think favor their shareholders more than ratepayers. And as a consumer organization, we're always going to put the ratepayers first.
Arizona PIRG has also been working with other organizations like Wildfire Arizona to advocate for change. The nonprofit's executive director, Kelly McGowan, says wildfire serves about 200,000 low-income households across the state.
And I think the concern is just what is the tipping point for low-income households in the state? We see data that a large percentage of people are already struggling to pay their utility or electricity costs, and that they're keeping their homes at an unsafe temperature or they're foregoing other basic expenses to pay their utility bill.
They estimate that in the last year, 36% of Arizona households reduced or forgoed expenses for basic household necessities in order to pay their energy bill. Since 2014, the cost per kilowatt for APS customers has increased by 29%. As temperatures climb and Arizona's population grows, the demand for more power and the infrastructure to deliver it increases, but so does the price.
We do run bill assistance programs that are active, and we can try to help people who are struggling. So I just don't want people to have some of those dire consequences if they can reach out and get help.
What's important for consumers to know is that APS doesn't always get what they ask for. They start out high, and then through entities such as ours and others that will be intervening in the rate case, we make the case for why those particular rates aren't what we would call just and reasonable, which is the mandate by the Constitution that they need to make.
AZ Perg wants to hear from ratepayers and give them a voice in the process. We're partnering with them for a town hall at the Yuma Main Library on November 12, starting at 5 p.m. You can find more information at kawc.org. For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs was in Yuma this week. Governor Hobbs crossed the state on what she called her Arizona First Tour. Hobbs formally announced last month that she is running for re-election in 2026. Republicans Karen Taylor Robeson and Congressman Andy Biggs have announced their intention to run for the office as well. In Yuma, Governor Hobbs met with local elected officials, small business owners, and ag leaders to discuss the impacts of higher costs for them and residents.
Yuma is the last stop of my Arizona First tour. Just talking to Arizonans about the choices they have in the next election, about what I've done to deliver for Arizonans on the things that they care most about and the work that I know is ahead of us. It's been really frustrating to hear from consumers, from businesses, from people across industries, across the state that this trade war is impacting. And it's, I hear from people who say, look, President Trump ran on costs being too high and he's not doing anything to make them lower. My opponents in this race are cheering on this reckless trade war. And so, it's hurting Arizona families. And so I've spoken up about them. We're doing what we can at the state level to lower costs. But I know there's a lot of frustration. You heard from folks here today about how it makes a lot of uncertainty for them in how they continue to conduct their business. We're heading into the review of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. Arizona stands to gain or lose a lot in that, and so we're making sure that we are bringing the voices of agriculture, businesses across Arizona that rely on cross-border trade to that conversation so that we can benefit from the review of that agreement.
So Yuma County has more of a need for SNAP benefits, and you mentioned money to fund that. So what can Arizona do and for how long?
So I've been really clear on both the impacts of the federal government shutdown as well as longer term impacts from cuts that were made in Washington's partisan budget, that Arizona doesn't have the capacity to backfill so many of those impacts. We are doing everything we can to mitigate as much as possible. So that $1.8 million we allocated was to help support food banks. We've already been stretched, but we know they're gonna see a lot more demand in the coming days. Benefits that we're supposed to get to people on November 1st are not there. And so we know families across the state are feeling that impact. And I know it's not enough. We've asked Arizonans to show up for their neighbors, to give what they can, to volunteer where they can to help with that. We did hear today that that USDA is releasing the contingency funds, but it's still going to take a while to get to people's benefit cards. and it's half of what they should expect for November. And it means that families, as we head into Thanksgiving, are going to be feeling that pinch. And we're doing everything we can. But again, I know it's not enough. And we rely on these federal funds. And so that's, this government shutdown has been really harmful for Arizonans.
Southern Arizona has been without representation in Congress for several months now. What are your thoughts on the delay to swear in Aelita Grijalva and the job she'll do when she is eventually sworn in?
I'm excited for her to be the congresswoman from this area. I think she is going to do a great job. It is really unfortunate that, again, Washington politics are getting in the way here. The speaker is playing political games with this. And I think, you know, just using it as one more bargaining chip with the congressional Democrats. And, you know, she was overwhelmingly elected. She should be seated, and they should stop playing political games.
Jonathan Dinsmore owns and operates Dinsmore Farms in Yuma. He met with Governor Hobbs.
Right now, we're just looking to make sure that we take care of all of our ag employees, also focusing heavily on our resources like our water, being able to look at and plan ahead for certain prices with fertilizers, fuels, machinery costs are difficult right now. So anything that we can do to be able to work together with our state legislators and our governor would be really helpful.
While in Yuma, Governor Hobbs also had lunch at Mr. G's, visited Martha's Garden Date Farm, the Treehouse Kids Club, and the Amberlees Place Domestic Violence Shelter. She finished her day in Yuma watching an Arizona Cardinals game with supporters at Prison Hill Brewing Company. Coming up after the break, hear from the woman who will most likely be the next president of Arizona Western College. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Last month, the Arizona Western College District Governing Board announced their intention to consider a sole preferred candidate for the position of college president, Ritika Dewan. She is currently both vice president of workforce and healthcare programs at AWC and CEO of the Entrepreneurial College. President Daniel Kaur announced that he will be retiring at the end of the academic year in July 2026. KAWC Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer attended a town hall with Dewan on the main campus on Wednesday and has more details.
Empowering faculty, empowering staff, and students, all the three are important. There's not a one thing over another. You have a three pillar. Everyone need that opportunity and then strength.
That was Dr. Ritika Dewan, who may very well become the next president of Arizona Western College. On October 16th, AWC President Dr. Daniel Kaur announced his intention to retire by July 2026. Nearly 2 weeks later, the College District Governing Board named Dewan as their sole preferred candidate. This week, on November 5th and 6th, a series of town halls were held in Yuma, San Luis, and Parker. At the town halls, Dewan presented her background and vision for the college if selected as president. KAWC attended the very first of these forums, and the lecture hall was packed. Folks who came after seating filled up took to standing along the sides to hear from Dewan.
Achievements and honors I have done, you know, like Teacher of the Year, Endowed Faculty of the Year, Star Faculty of the Year, and Arizona CTE Award of the Year. And these all honors all reflect When we work together, we uplift our community, we uplift our college, we uplift everyone. So that's what I believe in. It's not my achievement, it's our achievement of everyone, how we work together.
If selected as president, she said her first 100 days will be about listening, learning, and aligning. She intends to understand before implementing change. This will begin with a Strengths in Action tour where she'll
visit all the campuses, whether it's the South County, whether it's La Paz County, or whether it's Welton Reskilling Center, or whether it's a Yuma campus. Listening to faculty, staff, and students, all the three pillars are so critical. You know, everyone's to listen.
Next, she hopes to align the college's strategic plan. While Dewan thinks it already looks good, she wants to take a look at the pillars and see
where we are with them and what needs to be added and what needs to be updated. And look at the impact and the sustainable progress, what needs to be done into our programs and what needs to be done in the future.
She also aims to amplify partnerships and communication.
As I said, everyone is great in this partnership, but we need to see where we can go further and have an open communication. We need to communicate with faculty, staff, and community where we are going and what's needed. That's what we need to do when we work together as a team.
But where is Dewan coming from? How does her history inform her perspective? Well, when sharing of her background, Ritika Dewan explained that she emigrated from India to the U.S.
From India, I moved to Parker, 1 square mile, started as a math teacher and a physics teacher at Parker High School. After that, I started teaching math at Arizona Western College, La Paz Center, and moved to Yuma in 2011. So I started 2007 in United States and 2008 for Arizona Western College, teaching math and physics.
Dewan has taught math, physics, and engineering, not just in Parker Unified and AWC, but also at the University of Arizona, Arizona State University, Imperial Valley College, West Virginia Northern Community College, and universities in India. Her experiences in the classroom is something she expects to carry into the position. Over the last 25 years working, she spent 16 of them as faculty.
You know, 25 years of my career in education, out of that, 16 years I was faculty. And then that faculty is, buildings are not our strength. Technology is important. Scott, don't feel make me feel like why are you saying we don't need technology? But people is the one who makes learning life. We do need everyone. Everyone, you know, just not faculty, everyone we needed. Faculty are the one who inspire the curiosity. They make learning life. You know, we are the ones stay after the class, stay in the office to make sure we are connected with the students. I remember doing a session on Saturdays. I have seen other instructors doing that, other professors going above and beyond, meeting with students, recording the videos, you know, high tech. So those are all what our faculty do for our students and asking for those resources. Especially Stephanie is like asking every time 100,000 for the students. I was like, calm down for those resources, right?
When she transitioned to administration, she shared that it was a learning process, one where she learned to value partnerships and service.
For my leadership has always been service over the status. So I do believe in service, and I believe that outside the college, when I work on building the college education, connecting them with industry and workplace experience learning, and also working with opportunities for our college. That's what I believe in. And how I do that, I do by advocacy, whether it's for arts, whether it's for youth empowerment, and whether it's for workforce. That's what I believe in it. And I engage Arizona Western College in the state and nationally. Why? Because we want to make sure that we reflect what we do and they understand what we are doing great, what we are great at. That's what I do.
She further noted some recent examples of how college partnerships have elevated the college.
There are TSMC, which is Taiwan Semiconductor, is in Phoenix. But however, they're going to visit us in February here, right? So they are bringing 20 individual students from university. They want to have a 2+2 program with us, right? So those level happen because of these partnerships led by faculty, led with the connection, the innovation we are doing. And I will tell you, the healthcare building is a great example of innovation led by faculty. Nowhere in the country that exists, what's happening between Anveda and Arizona Western College for the healthcare building. Having all the pipeline, all the way till master's and doctorate, they can finish their medical school right here in Yuma. Nowhere else is going to happen that. And the connection, that pipeline. And then the funding we just recently got because of Dr. Diaz, AHEC funding, you can start in a middle school and you can finish your medical school right here in Yuma.
Expanding opportunities for students was one topic Dewan prioritized, not just in the Yuma area, but throughout the college district's reach in Yuma and La Paz counties.
The South County representa lo mejor de nuestra frontera, familia, trabajo y esperanza. I understand as a first generation, as a bilingual, what opportunity means, how thankful I am. I'm thankful for providing those opportunities for those students. When I see those students, I feel like they are my kids. I don't have any kids, but I wanted to do, like, you know, those kids are my kids. I want to provide those opportunities for them, you know, so which they can afford and be able to stay here.
Dewan also expressed the importance of AWC's influence as a Hispanic serving institute.
South County is so important to, very close to my heart. If you go there, the respect students give, the hope they have when they cross the border every day in a hope of changing their life, and then that is really very strongly, I'm very strongly connected to them. That they want, some of them don't have a car to go come from all the way from there to Yuma. And so we need to provide opportunity for them right there. So it's so critical for us to understand that bilingual workforce for border region, have that connection with the border region. And honoring Hispanic heritage. Honor that we are Hispanic Institute. Understand we are 71% Hispanic. Understand that our students are Hispanic, and how can we support them? How can we provide those opportunities for them, which they are looking for from us?
Over her career, Dewan has helped secure more than $60 million in grants for the college. She hopes to continue doing this as a means to grow the college's external revenue.
All partnership and grants, we got it, you know, and those are so critical for our students because equipment for workforce programs are very expensive. They are not cheap. So to provide that in last 9 years was luck or hard work for everyone in the team. It's not just I got them, it's the teamwork we got those grants.
After Dewan's presentation, she answered moderated questions from the college and town hall attendees. Next week on Arizona Edition, we'll take a closer look at people's takeaways from the forums. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.